to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I am your host, Chauncey Hallward. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you got any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So as the government's first unified UFO report in decades looms, the Defense Department has confirmed that several leaked UFO videos were in fact taken by Navy personnel, including UFOs shaped like, quote, spheres, acorns, and one that resembled, quote, a metallic blimp. There have been a number of reports of unauthorized and or unidentified aircraft entering various military-controlled ranges and designated airspace in recent years, the Navy said in 2019. Some of these UFOs exhibited, quote, extraordinary capabilities, like staying stationary in high winds. Scientists believe a new force of nature, other than gravity, electromagnetism, and the strong and weak nuclear forces, may be required to explain the erratic movement of particles called muons in high-energy particle accelerators. Scientists hope that if these findings are legitimately the result of some explained force, they may that may help explain mysteries like dark matter and dark energy. And Russia appears to be running new tests on their nuclear-powered torpedo called the Poseidon. Part submarine and part nuclear missile, the weapon is designed to travel at high speeds underwater to coastal targets and explode, causing massive damage. Russia reportedly hopes to create 30 or so of these torpedoes, each of which would be many times as powerful as the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Most existing missile defense systems are focused on stopping missiles traveling through the air. A weapon like this could strike too quickly to stop or even detect. Initially, reports of this weapon were dismissed as a bluff, and many experts still aren't sure it could be as viable as Russia apparently believes. But there is no longer any doubt that Russia intends to make this technology work. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. You know, the UFOs being verified by the Navy, I think it's wild that they're even doing it. But I'm also a little weirded out. Why isn't anybody else coming out and saying this? We do have other military in the sky.
You mean like other countries?
No, even here in the United States, it's all coming from the Navy, nothing from the Air Force or the Army.
Well, this latest thing came from the Department of Defense.
No, that's good.
And they were saying, hey, these videos are from Navy personnel, and the leak was, like, from the Navy. So, hence, that's why these are Navy sightings. It is a little odd, I guess, that most of the, really high-profile sightings have been all Navy. You would think there would be more Air Force in there, but I mean, there certainly are. There are like Air Force sightings. So I don't know. I can't explain that. There's much about this I cannot explain.
Yeah, it's definitely wild. It's hard to imagine what their motivations are behind telling us all this. You know, that's like me coming out and telling you, here's a bunch of stuff I don't know. Maybe that needs to be my new podcast, Stuffed I Don't Know.
I think that's also this podcast.
Milk pasteurization. Don't know much about it. Next topic. Lizards and their tails coming off. Don't know much about it.
You know, I would listen to that, you know.
You just listing off crap that I know nothing about.
A truly honest podcast.
That's true. That's true.
Unique in that respect.
Right. All right, a new force of nature, you know. As a person, well, in my previous podcast that I was going to come up with about stuff I don't know much about, forces of nature could have been like a whole episode of me like listing off.
All the ones that you don't know about.
Right. So to me, I always thought like the force of nature was just kind of weird anti-science. And here's why. I know it sounds weird, but like, to me, when they create the forces of nature and stuff like that, it sounds to me like they're putting it in a box of like, this is the stuff that just is. We don't know why. We'll never know why. This is the box of stuff that just is, you know, and I don't like the box of stuff that just is, you know, it sounds religious.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I get it, and I'm way more into this box, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, all physics kind of falls into the category of, like, this is the way reality works. No, we don't know why, because, you know, we can't explain why reality exists, because we're not omniscient, you know?
Not yet.
So, I think that the forces, people have never totally, like, understood any of them. They're just kind of like, here's the math. These sets of equations always kind of describe what happens with these particles. You know, right. We can reduce it down to, you know, the simplest we can get it is these sets of equations. And why these equations? What do they mean? Who knows?
Right.
Physicists do math.
Well, I'm guessing it was somewhat disappointing to everybody to be working on a unified equation and then feel like there might be a whole new force.
Now we got to get a fifth force in there.
Right.
But on the other hand, maybe some people who are working on it are just like, oh my God, this solves everything. But
yeah, that's true. That's the extent of my grasp on this. And while I find it incredibly interesting, and a lot of people might come down on it, my personal opinion is fund it, you know, do everything.
Yeah.
I'm totally on board with it, but I don't pretend to understand it.
Oh, me neither. And, you know, this is the way science works. You do 1,000 experiments that show nothing. You know, they show exactly what you already thought. And then you show one experiment that you also thought would just show nothing, but it shows something weird. And then from that, you get breakthroughs like the theory of relativity and all kinds of other things.
So. Right. And then as far as the Russian nuclear torpedo Poseidon boat submarine, I don't know. It's a pretty good idea. It kind of seems a little 1980s episode of G.I. Joe invention.
Right. That's why I love it. This is so, you know, Putin really exudes Bond villain energy at all times.
Yeah, yeah.
And
big Bond villain energy. I love it. Yeah.
Totally upping the ante here, you know. And scientists all over the world are like, you know, we don't think this would really work, or, you know, maybe it would work, but it wouldn't really have a big advantage over,
right,
you know, what we already have. And Putin's just like, screw you, I'm gonna make my super villain weapon and then hold the world ransom for $1 million.
Totally. We're gonna find out that the actual Russian name of the project translates into sharks with freaking laser beams on their foreheads.
Exactly.
Right.
Just classic Vladimir Putin. And I know he's a brutal dictator, and, you know, he's destroyed his country. And
yeah, you got to find your humor where you find it. You know,
it's funny how over the top he is.
Right, right, yeah. Tragedy plus time, you know.
Exactly. Well, not that much time, since
right,
it's still ongoing.
But, yeah, it seems to me like the invention came out, and, like, the American war scientists are just all, it's not a bad idea, but it's not particularly a good one either.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, initially, it was so, like, out there that they were like, I think they're just trying to mess with us.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that the Russians care about Greek mythology, too. You know?
Yeah. Well,
I'm surprised that it's not mostly English-speaking people. I just always kind of assumed that it was, or at least Latin languages and stuff like that. But, I mean, here we are, they're rocking, what, the Cyrillic alphabet, and they're naming their stuff after Greek gods? That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that is. Maybe they got some non-Russian scientists. But I think classical mythology is pretty much big in, like, every white people country.
Yeah, smarty pants white people. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to be talking about generations. That's right, you boomers and millennials. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it's mostly boomers listening, but we'll see. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Sports Cards, locally owned and operated at 1620 East Cypress Avenue across from Hill Collision Center, is your home base for trading cards and signed sports memorabilia with modern and vintage sports cards and collectibles. Compass Sports Cards features baseball, basketball, football cards, and is the largest supplier of non-sports Pokemon cards. Buy, sell, or trade with Compass Sports Cards, open from 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday. Do you have a collection? Have it appraised at Compass Sports Cards before or after hours at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Call 355-2016 or stop by today and check us out on Facebook, Compass Sports Cards.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
9.9 million Americans misuse prescription drugs, with most of the prescription drugs coming from family and friends, often from medicine cabinets.
The National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day addresses this serious public health and safety issue.
Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs
to the Reading City Hall, Saturday, April 24th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For info, call 241-5958 or visit chemicalpeople.org.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Tonight we're going to talk about something that, a lot of people like to kvetch and complain about, and I personally find it all to be quite ridiculous, but we're going to talk about generations, specifically the battle between the millennial and the boomer that seems to be going on right now. Personally, I'm Generation X, so I'm like in between. My mom was the silent generation, so she was before.
Right.
Your parents, Kara, would be boomers.
Yes.
And you would be a millennial.
I would. Yes. Yeah. And, today's teenagers and, early 20-year-olds are Gen Z.
Right. So, and for anybody out there wondering, Gen Y and millennial are synonymous.
The same thing. Yes.
Right. I guess a great place to start. Well, let's explain to people. Boomers pass through childhood as television took hold. Generation X saw computers come onto the scene. And millennials were born into the age of the internet. Although it is some variation depending on birth years that comprise the baby boomer generation. It is widely accepted range is 1946 to 1964. Mm-hmm. Millennials, Gen Y, early 80s. But the general years they tend to go with is 1981 to 1996.
That's for millennials?
for millennials.
Oh, wow, really? That's earlier than I thought.
Yeah, well, me too, because Generation X, apparently I'm at the tail end of it, and I thought I was kind of, like, deep in the heart of it. But
I would have thought, like, you know, sort of late 80s. You know, my brother's 89. But, you know, I guess a lot of my friends who are, like, a little older than me were in the 80s. And so, yeah, that makes sense.
Your old friends.
My old friends, yeah.
Yep.
Some of them are like 35.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That means their brain fell out of the side of their head like, what, 10 years ago?
They've seen empires rise and fall. They've heard when they were young, the sun was twice as bright as it is now. It's been dimming.
Yeah, and gravity has changed because apparently people used to have to walk both ways uphill in the snow to school. Yeah, so
yeah, but it was well after when the world turned from black and white to color. So.
Right, and the talkies. Right. The talkies.
The talkies, yeah, when people invented talking.
So I'm kind of off the hook on this one. I jokingly refer to myself as the last baby boomer because my parents...
Is that the new Star Wars movie?
Yeah, totally. My parents were so much older than me. Had they had kids in even a relative normal range, I would have been a baby boomer.
Right.
But my parents were 40, and so I was 76. I'm just outside of that. And I also like to think of myself, because I'm so ineffectual, pointless, selfish, and into cartoons, I like to think of myself as an early millennial. Okay, so here's the real question. Seeing how you're on the hook for half of this, at least.
Sure, yeah.
How do you feel when people talk all this smack about millennials? And I think a better question would be, how did you feel at first? I think now we're probably a little desensitized to it.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever, like, really felt, like, offended on behalf of my peer group. Like, I don't care. I have no connection to my fellow man. You know, they can do whatever they want. So,
a millennial of you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, your words cannot hurt me because I care about nothing.
Right.
Kind of thing. So,
just don't post it on my Twitter profile because that'll hurt my feelings. But
yeah, that's true. So I guess, you know, I felt nothing particularly about that, but I do think there's some annoying historical context, you know, I think a lot of the ladders that allowed baby boomers to get so successful economically were basically pulled up during the Reagan era. But is that baby boomers' fault? No, not really. You know, baby boomers would have been 20s to 30s then. They weren't responsible for putting Reagan in office. That was the generations before them, which are, you know, largely very old or dead now. So
the greatest generation and the silent generation.
Yeah, I think more the silent generation probably was really instrumental in putting Reagan in office, and I think he, you know, was largely responsible for the hellscape in which, you know, millennials have grown up. KZNR is gonna love that, I'm sure.
Right.
you know, I think we grew up during different times, but also I've never thought much of it, just because every generation complains about how the teenagers and 20-year-olds of their day are feckless and irresponsible, which I think is typically a result of being teenagers and 20-year-olds.
Right.
I think so. Every generation, the baby boomers certainly weren't immune to that. You know, they were the OG civil rights protesters. Well, the younger generation of civil rights protesters, obviously. You know, MLK wasn't a baby boomer. Like, the leaders of the protests and stuff were older than that. But, you know, they were protesting the Vietnam War. And people got mad at them about that. So, you know, I'm not.
Well, what do you think? Do you think that this current situation is coming more to a head? Or do you think we're just feeling like it is? Because, you know, I posted online. Everybody posts online, hey, I got the vaccine. I got the vaccine. Woohoo. I voted. It's like I voted. Only you know what side you're on. It's like if I were to wear if people were to wear stickers that said, I voted Democrat. That's what getting the vaccine's like at this point. And so I posted online. I thought it was real funny because of my dad humor. I said, guess who has two thumbs and just got the vaccination? Not this guy, because the vaccine made my thumbs fall off. And of course, you know, I think it's super funny. But I get some comments on there, and one comment is from somebody, I'm not sure who I know them. We tried to research if I knew this person, but we weren't able to real quick. He posts on there like, ew, why would you put that poison in your thing? Gives a bunch of like hateful faces and stuff. And I mean, I'm obviously mocking both sides of this thing, right? And so he puts up all these hateful faces, and then he, and I go to see who this is. Okay, well, maybe. And I can't find him. So he immediately posted this stuff on my comment and then unfriended me and blocked me. I didn't say anything back yet. I mean, I would have, but it would have been as snarky as the initial comment. And, you know, he just immediately, you know, so do you, I guess my point is, do you think we all feel, currently we all feel like this divide is something more than it has been in the past. But you seem to be saying like, meh, screw it, it's always like this.
Well, no, I think it's more. I just think the reasons for deepening partisanship in this country are largely not generational. I think the generational component, obviously it's there, but I think that hasn't changed very much in the sense that younger generations are, I think today, more progressive than older generations to about the same degree that younger generations are always more progressive than older generations. Mm. I think the reason we're so divided has a lot more to do with, you know, media and social media and just sort of changes in the way our government and economy works and that kind of thing. And so I don't think the big culprit really is differences in age groups.
No, of course it wouldn't be any different without outside variables,
right?
You know,
exactly.
Of course that's why, unless humans have, like, we've evolved to the point where we fight over nothing, you know, it's like, why would we be there without outside variables, you know? But I guess a realistic, well, let's ask the question and try to be objective, and I'll try to be objective. Okay. Too. Although you're going to have to try harder.
That's fair.
It is fair, because are the things that boomers say about millennials true?
Well, what do boomers say about millennials?
Well, that you're feckless, and you obviously know some of it. You know, are you guys lazy? Are you non-motivated? Are you stupid and easily confused when it comes to working at the office? I don't know any of these things. Surely you've seen, you know, Kermit the Frog memes. And are you sensitive? Are you a libtard? Are you a snowflake? Are you these things?
See, I feel like most of those memes are making fun of liberals, not young people, you know, and often they're conflated.
Well, the work ones and the motivation ones are not. They are.
Okay, sure. We're, you know, we can't write in cursive. Who freaking cares? You can't use Outlook, you know.
I've never drank from a garden hose. Right.
Right. You can't use Adobe Acrobat without, you know, getting three viruses and emailing your social security number to a Nigerian.
You're not being objective. We'll hit the other side too.
Thank you. Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. What I want to know is any of it true? Can you look at yourself and your generation, your tribe, you know, as a middle-aged white man?
Is.
Okay, hang on. As a middle-aged white man, I have to come to terms with the fact that my tribe has done some pretty shady stuff here lately. And so my tribe of middle-aged white dudes, I have to be like, these guys are crazy. You know, so your tribe in this context is millennial. So you gotta represent your tribe and you gotta be honest.
See, I feel like largely what we get accused of is not having a lot of money, which I think is accurate. I think that's not really our fault. I think the world has changed and we're generally not as prosperous as generations before us. Because, you know, most of the opportunity has been eroded by previous generations. So, you know, a lot of the criticism I see of millennials is like, millennials are killing this industry, millennials are killing that industry, millennials aren't getting married, millennials aren't buying diamonds, millennials aren't having kids. It's like, no, duh, we don't have the money to do any of that stuff.
Right.
So, like, the root criticism of millennials, I think, is generally coming from people who consider it a sin to not have a lot of money. Right.
You're
so
right. Well,
I will gladly be like, yeah, that's true.
I would say that their argument is more coming from working hard, because a lot of the you know, remember when we both worked back up at the place, whatever it was called.
Sure.
Not the business, but the building.
Sure, yeah.
Where we had all the offices and there were other businesses right. in there. Most of the complaints that I would hear about, like, millennials and stuff were that they were just oblivious. They had no idea what was going on, what to do, or how to. Or they were some, like, rock star entrepreneur that had bilked everybody out of tons of money. So some of them are hella motivated, I guess. Right. But there seems to be this, like, scattered, I don't know what's going on reputation that comes with the millennial.
I don't think that's any more accurate of millennials than of previous generations who are, you know, young.
I see.
I think that's how young people are in the workforce. And people always complain like their problems are new, but no one has any understanding of history and people are dumb.
Great. Good answer. Show's over. Okay.
Honestly, I feel like that's my answer to 90% of the questions I get asked on this show. So
right. Just, well, I mean, yeah.
I'm just going to wear a shirt that says that.
Well, I mean, part of us is also to represent the audience and what the audience would be asking and answering, you know? So what do we think? Do we think any of the truth of the boomer is true?
I mean, I think,
I don't know.
Cause I think for one thing, the boomers who are alive today are not the same. I'm being serious, are not the same as the boomers who were alive in the 60s, you know?
Well, yeah, of course not.
How many gay boomers died in the AIDS epidemic? You know, how many black and, you know, non-white boomers just didn't live as long as the white boomers did because of statistics, you know?
And the 60s wasn't boomers because boomers and, well, I guess.
Boomers who were fighting against the Vietnam War, the boomers who were, you know, laid some of the groundwork of the civil rights movement, even though mostly the silent generation, you know, the Stonewall riot boomers, a lot of our social progress as a nation has come from young boomers who were progressive, many of which are not still around. Sadly.
You know, I think you hit an idea right on the head of the nail and drove it to the board. And that is that
A plus.
Yeah,
nice. Plus Chauncey.
Brought that one back around. And that is that we seem to have separated millennial and boomer into these two categories of conservative and liberal.
Right.
And
I think that's the real divide, you know.
Right. And most people are crapping on these millennials from this boomer generation. And they're not, even if they are conservative, they're not really realizing that America's longest war has been fought by these millennials. You know, anything that's been going on today that you like, as far as our military or anything, is they're all millennials, you know.
Right. A lot of, you know, the arts, entertainment. You know, like I said, millennials are in their 30s going on 40 now, a huge portion of the workforce is millennials. So that's, and I think you were mentioning, you know, the place we worked. I think my boss, very conservative guy, had a pretty sober view of the generations, honestly, and was kind of like, you know, in 20 years, you guys will be in charge and you can make the rules. And for the
right.
time being, we get to make the rules, and that's just how it works. Which is like,
yeah,
that's true. You know, if the rules are being made by one generation, then obviously they're going to be tailored to the needs of that generation. So,
you know, Joe had an interesting way of believing in everything that I didn't believe in, but saying
oh, yeah,
things
I agree
that made
with
me
him.
Want to support him.
I agreed
him.
With him on very little, but
right.
he, you know.
Because my favorite thing is, you know, Joe's a Christian, and we were talking about homosexuality in Christianity, and mm-hmm. and I asked Joe, I'm just like, okay, so what do you think of of, you know, gays in the Bible and stuff. You know, how do you feel about that with your Christian? You know, I put out the challenge.
I hope you said it just like that.
I did.
Think about gays in the Bible?
Right. I spooked it up a little for him, you know? And he gave the best answer I've ever heard from a Christian who believes this stuff. And that was, there are like two lines in the Bible that say maybe you shouldn't be gay, but there's like a billion that say you shouldn't be a judgmental jerk. Why are we concentrating on those two lines?
Right.
And I'm just all, that's a great answer. You know, that's like the only time I've ever heard a good answer on that question from somebody. So kudos to Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an answer you agree with, right?
Well, yeah. It's an answer I agree they should agree with. I don't agree with anybody because I, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's a very clear-headed answer, but it also, like, reinforces my beliefs. I think he had equally, like, simple, charismatic ways of putting most of his positions, but most of them I would be like, that's impossibly stupid, you know?
Right, oh yeah.
Even though I think he's an incredibly smart guy, right?
His ability at argument and debate is better than his judgment calls.
That, yes.
Right.
Which, you know.
So getting back to it, you know, kind of what we're saying is that most of this hatred at the younger generation seems to have skipped over and gone towards Gen Z, actually, and people are just kind of clumping them together. And I feel that that's been going on, that people are referring to Gen Z as being millennial, even though they're not. They're their own subspecies of stupid.
Right, and I think Gen Z is already, like, much more progressive than millennials. Although, see, that's difficult. The reason the generations always look more progressive when they're young is not that the progressives will later become conservative, because what the data shows is people's beliefs generally sort of are stuck in place around 25 and don't change all that much unless their economic circumstances change hugely,
right.
And even then not very much. What happened with, say, the baby boomers is when the baby boomers were in their 20s, the people among the group, the small percentage of the group that was politically active, were liberals and progressives. And by the time they got to their 30s, a larger percentage of the group was... Basically, it's just conservatives tend to become politically active later. Is all that it boils down to.
Well, I bet you there's another big thing here, and that is that it's not that people move on the scale, it's that the scale moves beneath it.
Unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
A federal court ruled in protection of a Christian student organization at a Michigan university. The university revoked their official club status simply because the Christian club requires club leaders to adhere to their Christian statement of faith.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us. Yeah, it's weird, like, which friends, like, ended up being very conservative or very liberal, and I'm very liberal in my belief systems of what I'll vote for and what I'll try to make happen and stuff like that. But socially, I'm very like, you know, talk to me about laser beams and, magical beings and comic books. You know, it's like, I don't want to get into a big, deep conversation about politics with anybody ever. You know, and I mean, even here, people will say, well, you're doing it with Kara. And I mean, obviously I'm mocking half of it because it's like ridiculous. I don't know, you know, but like I look at my friends and I'm just all wow, you know, and I try to look back in high school and be all, did I see anything in this person that would make them feel that when they're 40, a woman's place is in the kitchen? You know, like what a weird thing in my circle of friends, because we were the punk kids. We were the outcasts of society, whether by choice or by design. And, you know, to see now that people are just all like, oh, you know, black lives don't matter. And I'm all like, what? That's a horrible thing to say. I can't imagine anybody I knew feeling that way. But I have a wide dichotomy of these weirdos that I'm connected to by logistics of high school. I guess there's no point to say there. It's just a little shocking.
Yeah, you know, I had a friend in the freshman year of high school who was like this super edgy goth kid, and I loved that super edgy goth kid. And I saw yesterday, or like a few days ago, her and her husband posting these pictures on Facebook of them with like these Louder with Crowder baseball caps. I was just like, oh,
Louder,
man,
with
like
Crowder, what's that?
Oh, it's like Mark Levin kind of.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know, man, I like you better when you were 15, you know, but like at the same time, I don't think that's a result of like something in them that I don't really...
Well, you're saying they don't change that much, and so it got me to thinking about these people, you know.
Yeah,
it's like,
well, you know, I said that people's, whatever you are when you're 25, tends to stick for the rest of your life. You know, from 10 to 25, people change a lot, you know. When they, you know, they leave their homes and go to college or don't go to, you know, that sort of formative area. But,
So the lesson here is don't make any real lasting friendships with anybody under 25 because it's a crapshoot.
Well, you know, if you're a high schooler, don't expect that you're going to keep your high school friends forever. But
right,
I don't think our audience is generally high schoolers. But here's my point. I don't think these people's political attitudes are a result of something that's inside them. I think it's a result of the environment that they find themselves in. And I think, you know, race, gender, sexual orientation, those things can just, because of the way our society is set up, can sort of predispose yourself to, like, ending up in a certain social group that in turn predisposes you to listen to certain, you know, forms of media and take things more seriously. But
absolutely.
I think,
like all the people who say, if I was born in 1850, I wouldn't be a racist jerk like they were.
Exactly. You know, so, well, I'm more thinking today, you know, like most queer people are progressives, which it's not like they've got a progressive gene. It's that, you know,
it's in their best interest.
Right. Most conservative movements are highly hostile to queer people. So it's, unless, you know, they're also exceedingly rich, in which case their interest suddenly becomes, you know, to be conservative.
Richer.
Right. So right. my point is people end up in an environment and what they think about politics is not, I don't think, a reflection on what their soul is like. I think it's a reflection on what they hear and what they get told. We're constantly commenting, you know, people on one side versus another side live in a different world. And it's like, if everyone in my life I trusted told me that the election had been stolen, I would have been at the Capitol trying to storm it. What are you kidding me? Like, if that was true, then that,
yeah,
you know,
no, I get
A
you.
Follows from B, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, I
just
that.
Don't think it's true. So the point is, you know, one side's informed and one side's misinformed, and which side you think is right is a matter of opinion.
Well, this is a good example then. Is it possible that the other side is informed in areas that our side, let's say our side for the sake of argument, not informed correctly on?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And, you know, I think I generally agree more with conservatives on, like, some aspects of, like, gun control than I do with a lot of liberals.
That's because of logistics. You were born in Reading, or you grew up in Reading.
Well, I've never handled a gun in my life.
Yeah, but you grew up behind enemy lines with a bunch of people who had guns, and you never got shot, and so therefore.
I've never even been around, like, a gun. I've never been within 500 feet of a gun. But I also just... I think there's a lot of sort of, and I mean, by all accounts, I should be like super, you know, pro gun control. Cause like I went to Santa Barbara when there was a mass shooting there, which was a horrifying experience that brought the university to a standstill for like the entire rest of the quarter. But it's like mass shootings just don't happen that often. They're just publicized a lot.
Well, they happen once a day.
Well, I mean, the definition of mass shooting is like 3 or 4 people killed.
Oh, know? Well, that's it. Never mind.
Well, I'm talking about your, you know, 20, 30 people mass
shooting. No, I get you.
Which is what you tend to think when you hear a mass shooting is happening once a day. You're thinking, you know, it's a Las Vegas shooting once every day.
That, no pun intended, but they're getting a little liberal with the use of the word mass.
Right. And I mean, I think it's an important discussion to have. I think other countries manage to keep their gun deaths down. And I think, you know, it's probably important to do something about it. But I think there's just, you know, a fundamental disconnect between like, we're getting way off topic here, but between just, like, liberal politicians who live in urban areas, and they just don't understand that you will never take, like, gun culture out of the country. Like, right. So.
Well, getting off topic is not a problem, because we're getting pretty close to the end here, but I was watching Bill Maher the other day, and I think it was a rerun, so dig for it if you want to, but he basically was saying that, you know, every smart person today is the idiot of tomorrow, you know, so the things that we all view as woke and progressive will be the conservative of tomorrow, and that we need to be a little more forgiving of these other generations, both past and future, because this person that millennials maybe look at as a boomer and close-minded and stuck in their ways was actually the trendsetter that changed this world, and that the people of today will be that tomorrow. And, you know, it was a good point. He said cell phones. He pulled his cell phone out, and he's just, oh, yeah, I'm so progressive. I got a cell phone. I had one before everybody else. And 20 years from now, people are going to be all, you kept that in your pocket next to your nuts? What are you, crazy? You know, and it's like, you know, it's a good point, you know. So I guess my final answer to people would be, I don't know, do something else with your time than bitch and complain about what everybody else does.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's...
So I guess that's the end of our show forever.
It is the end. It's at least the end of it for tonight.
All right.
All right, my guest has been me, and Kara's guest has been her, and we've been our guests tonight here on Radio Wasteland, talking about boomers and millennials. Which are you? Do you feel like one? Are you one? Are you being honest about how stupid you really are? Join us next week. Night-night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.